We thank God that we all have assembled ourselves here this morning to sing praises to God and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. Because we all know that God is good. And not only is he good sometime, but he's good all the time. So that's why we all here this morning to worship him, because God is worthy of all of our praise and all of our efforts. He's worthy of. And the Bible teaches us that we are not to worship people. We are not to worship things because they are not worthy to be worshipped. But John the Revelator says, thou art worthy. So God is worthy. So we thank God for each and every one of you this morning. As you all know that when it comes to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I don't give hints. I just like to tell it like it is in the Bible. It reminds me of a story that I heard about this married couple. They had been married for 40 years, and the wife was very mean to the husband. So on their 40th year anniversary, the husband bought her a cemetery plot. And so she was still very mean to him. And on their 41st anniversary, the wife asked the husband, say, are you going to get me anything by anniversary? So you do you know what this day is? He said, yes. So I know you don't because you've been losing your mind for the last 40 years. She said, but the day is our anniversary. Are you going to get me anything? He said, no, because you didn't use what I gave you on our last anniversary. Now, that sounds like a hint, but I'm not going to give a hint this morning. We're just going to tell it like it is as we find in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that the gospel must be taught and truth must be told. Sometimes when truth is taught, it makes some people very uncomfortable. But truth must be taught. Sometimes when the gospel is taught, truth is taught, some people become very sad. Sometimes when the gospel is taught, some people become very happy. But the truth must be told. And if we're not teaching the truth, then this is not a gospel meeting that we're having this morning. It becomes a social meeting. That's why the truth must be told. I remember once I was preaching some things out of the Bible that was really hard for me to preach. I never will forget that after the service was over, Sister Carolyn came to me, and she gave me a scripture. I'll never forget it. She reminded me of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. She said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I thank Sister Carolyn for reminding me of that scripture. Because sometimes when truth is told, people will alienate you. But truth still must be taught. As we look into these passages of scripture this morning, we're looking at Jesus Christ teaching his disciples on the mount. He's teaching them about some Bible principles that will help them as a child of God, as a member of the body of Christ. These principles will help us if we will obey them. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Notice, I want to reread Matthew chapter 5 just for emphasis. And verse 21, Jesus is teaching about anger. And I know that all of us in here at some time get angry about something. We all do. And Jesus is teaching us how to handle that anger. Some of you all know that I've been married to my wife for 51 years. And we still get upset with each other. We get angry at each other about things. Because sometimes we just don't see eye to eye on things. As much as we try not to, it happens. So Jesus is teaching us this morning about anger. And notice what he says in Matthew 5 and verse 21. He said, "Ye have heard that it has been said by them of old." And what he's speaking of, them of old, he's speaking of Moses' law. He said, "You have heard of old, thou shalt not kill." And "thou shalt not kill" was one of the Ten Commands. Thou shalt not kill. And this is what he said. He said, "And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." And we'll find that in the book of Deuteronomy 5 and verse 17, if we go there. He said, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." And what he's speaking of the judgment is that day and time, there were several judges in every city. And these judges had the power to sentence a person to death. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here. He says that, "And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca," and that word, if you look at the Greek, it means empty head, "shall be in danger of the council." He said, "But whosoever shall say, thou fool," and that fool, we call a brother thou fool, that's speaking of a stupid, wicked fool. That's how the Greek gives it. "Then we shall be in danger," he says, "of hell fire." That's Gehenna is what Jesus is speaking of here. A person shall be in danger of going to hell, because that is a word that we should not call each other, is a fool. Calling a brother or a sister a fool. It's teaching about anger. And brothers and sisters, if we know anything about this life, as we assemble here this morning, this life is all about the preparation for the next life. This is what this life is all about. All of us preparing ourselves for the life to come. And Jesus is teaching on these subjects here that will help a child of God. Now, as we go through this lesson, I want us to hear what James has to say about it. In the book of James, chapter 1, notice what James says in chapter 1. James chapter 1, in verse 19, James says that, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." I know a lot of times when we hear that scripture being quoted, we always say, "Be slow to hearing and be slow to, quick to," let me read that right. We say that, "Be slow to hear and speak, slow to wrath." When we look at that scripture, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We don't usually say slow to wrath. We just use those two words, slow, quick to hear, slow to speak. We don't use slow to wrath. We leave that out. But what James is teaching here this morning is that in these passages of scripture, we as a child of God, we can learn by listening. If we just listen, we can learn. Because notice what the Bible says. It says, "For the wrath a man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's what James is teaching us, is that when we get angry, it's not the wrath of God the way we behave. That's why we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak. Notice what James says. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, James is teaching is when we get angry, I'm quite sure we've seen a pot that's boiling with water. And if it keeps boiling, we've seen a pot that boils over. That's what it's speaking about superfluency, is that when we get angry and we just continue to let that anger just fester, then what happens is that the anger comes up. It overflows. And then along with that, naughtiness. I know that we hear sometimes, you know, we say to a child, you're just being naughty. In other words, you're not behaving well. That's what we are saying. And that's why James says that we need to learn these principles and the engrafted word, God's word, which is planted in us, will help save us from getting into that state. And these are some Bible preachers that principles that Jesus was teaching on the Mount. And while we in James, I want to look at James chapter 4. And we'll look at verse 14 down through 17. James chapter 4. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, but what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanish away. We're talking about, we don't have a lot of time to get our lives right, brothers and sisters and friends. We don't have a lot of time. James said this life is just like a vapor. It appears just for a little while. Then it vanishes away. Notice what he says in verse 15. It says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live and do this or do that. This is how a child of God should speak. We shouldn't assume or be presumptuous that we're going to have tomorrow. Because no one in here in this building know what's on tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised to us. With life being that uncertain, the Bible tells us that as a child of God, these are a Bible principle that Jesus was teaching on the Mount. He said, this is how we need to talk. This is how we need to plan. If it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or we'll do that. Notice what he says here. He says that in verse 16, he said, but now ye rejoice in your boasting, and all such rejoicing is evil. Have we ever thought about that? It's when we talk about what we're going to do and plans we're going to make without including God, that it is boasting and it becomes evil. And I just want to say to you this morning, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if you hear me say, or do something that's in error, it is your responsibility to correct me. We are our brother's people. We all are in this together. We're trying to get from earth to where God is. Correct me if you see me in error. That's our responsibility. Now, you know what? You will never hear this from a denominational preacher saying, correct me. You just won't hear it. in the denominational world. But this is the Church of Christ. We're all trying to get where God is. And that's why we need to be our brothers and our sisters keepers. Notice what the Bible teaches. God is warning us about boasting. This is what he says. He says in verse 17, he said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Now we all have been warned by God how to walk, how to talk. But if we keep doing those things, it's a sin because we've been warned by God. He said, if you know to do good and you don't, it is a sin. These are Bible principles that Jesus taught on the mount. If we go back to the book of James, I want to go back to the book of, not the book of James, but the book of Matthews, and we'll look at another passage of scripture in there. We're going to look at Matthew. Let me go back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and verse 28, and look at a few passages of scripture. Notice what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. It says that ye have heard that it was said unto them of old, speaking of the law of Moses, thou shalt not commit adultery. Notice what Jesus said. He said, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. I heard once when a brother heard that passage of scripture, he said, pray for me, brother, pray for me. But the Bible teaches that Jesus condemns the thought. Moses condemned the act. And I just say to us as children of God, whenever we are placed in a situation where we are tempted, we are to move ourselves away from that temptation. You know, that's what happened to King David. One day he walked out on his porch. He looked and saw Bathsheba bathing. And he kept looking. He kept looking until he committed adultery. And also he committed murder by having a husband killed. So when we are in a situation where we know we are being tempted, we are to remove ourselves. Don't just keep looking. But remove ourselves away from the temptation. These are Bible principles that help us, will help us along the way. I want to move on to another part of these teaching that Jesus taught on the mount. And that is the book of Matthew chapter 7. And I've taught some of this principles some time ago, but I just want to go a little further into a few of them. Notice in the book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, and I'll read down to verse 23. Notice what the scripture teaches. This is the master teaching. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's what Jesus is teaching, that not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is heaven itself. So Jesus teaches us who is eligible to go to heaven and those that are not. He teaches us in these passages of scripture. I want us to notice in these passages of scriptures that in verse 22, he says, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils,
and thy name's done many wonderful works.
This is what people will be saying in that day when they stand before the judgment seat of God. Jesus says that we must do the will of God. God has a will for each and every one of us. And our job as brothers and sisters in Christ is to work within the will of God. That is our Christian responsibility. God has a will. He has a plan for each and every one of us. And we are to work within the will. Jesus says that is those that does the will of God. A brother, sister, friend, it's going to take more than just coming to worship service on the Lord's Day. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than just giving up of our means. It's going to take more than just doing good works in order for us to enter into the portals of heaven. It's going to take more. You got people out in this world today are just as religious as we are. They in some church this morning say that they're worshiping Christ. They say they're worshiping in his name today. You got some that paying their tithes, they're singing in the choir, they're doing good works, but just works alone will not save us. Not works alone. It's going to take more than that. Notice what Jesus says. And this verse tells us that in verse 23, that, and then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, who is the thee that he's speaking of? He's speaking of those that says, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devil in thy name? They were doing some good works. You know what this scripture teaches? That you can be religious, but biblically wrong. That's what these scripture teaches us. You can be a religious person, but biblically wrong. They were casting out devils in the name of Jesus. But they were not in a church that Jesus died for. They were not in the church that Jesus shed his blood for. They were not in the church that you could find in the Bible. They weren't in that church. And Jesus says that, yet you may have been doing those things. He said, but I don't know you. I never knew you. Because you're not in the church that I died for. You're not in the church that I purchased with my blood. Yet you may belong to a church, but you can't find that church in the Bible. There's no salvation in that church. And some people have been in religious organization all of their lives, from childhood till they leave this earth, and expecting to go to heaven. But one day they would hear that Jesus would say, I never knew you. Because they were not baptized for the remission of sin. You have to be baptized for your remission of sin. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. He said, depart from me because I don't know you. I never knew you. And down through the years, it was said that those passages of scripture apply to unfaithful Christians. But when you look at the language and the context of these scriptures, you will see that Jesus is not talking about the church of Christ. Because if he was talking about the church of Christ, he would never say, I never knew you. And when you look at the Greek says that I never had a relationship with you. And that's what Jesus is saying, that I don't know you. I never had a relationship with you. And brothers, sisters, and friends, we have to have a relationship with Jesus. We have to be buried in the watery grave of baptism. And just because you and I have obeyed the gospel and been baptized for the remission of our sins, we still have to be careful to maintain our relationship with Jesus. We may not be perfect every day, but we have to maintain that relationship. Brother Eldon quoted this scripture on last time he preached. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, he said, "He therefore think that he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." So we must be careful. I just wanted just to make a point in the book of Romans, and I will come to a conclusion of this lesson. In the book of Romans chapter 6, and we will come to a conclusion of this lesson. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Let us take a look at those passages of scripture. Romans 6 and verse 1. Notice what the Apostle Paul teaches. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?" And this is so simple and so plain. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He said, "For God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized," notice what it says here. I want to notice here. "Know ye not that so many of us," I want us to look at that word "us," because you see, everything after "us," the Apostle Paul had to do. He says, "So many of us that were baptized," that's what Paul says, "were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death." The Apostle Paul had to be baptized. So everything after "us," the Apostle Paul is including himself. He had to be baptized. He had to be baptized because, you see, he couldn't pray his way into Christ. You know, he had been praying 3 days and 3 nights. If prayer could have saved Paul, he would have been saved. But prayer, God's not going to save us by just praying. God's not going to save us just by doing good works. That's not how he saves us. He saves us by developing the relationship, being buried with Christ for the remission of our sins. That's how God saves us. That's where the relationship starts, is in the watery grave of baptism. A lot of people make fun of the Church of Christ. They say, you know, like, you guys, only thing you talk about is water. You believe in water. No. We don't believe any more in water than we do in hearing. We don't believe any more in water than we do in believing. We don't believe any more in water than we do in confessing. We believe it because this is what God directs us to do. God will put water in the plant. And that's why we believe it. The Apostle Paul teaches us that this relationship starts with Jesus. He said, therefore, in verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism. And that's where we connect with the blood. It's when we are buried with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can get into Christ, is to be buried with him in baptism. When Jesus died on that cross and the soldier came by and speared him in the side, Bible says came forth both blood and water. So you see, we have to be buried with Jesus Christ in his death in order to connect with the blood. That's where the relationship starts. People will tell you, well, you know what? I haven't done that, what you're teaching in the Bible, but I know I'm saved. No, you're not. I don't mean to be a negative preacher or anything like that. But the Bible teaches us the only way that you can get into Christ is being buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sin. You may have been baptized, but you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins and be added to the church that Jesus Christ died for. That's the only way that we can be saved. And this is the message that we as children of God, when therefore we have an opportunity to teach, this is where the relationship starts, is in the watery grave of baptism. And we come to Christ this morning by the first, the hearing of his word. And after hearing it, we must believe it. After believing it, we must repent. And after repent, we must make the good confession. And after good confession, be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. And we continue to walk in the newness of life. So we're children of God. When we stumble and fall and make mistakes, the Bible tells us that God is just to forgive us of our sins. But we are subject to the gospel in any manner this morning while we stand and sing the chosen selection. We may make the good confession.